Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Leading up to Ministry Involvement Night, next Sunday night, we're going to do Ministry Involvement Night a little different. We'll still have all the tables up next Sunday night and all the ministries. But the actual presentation will be much, much, much shorter next Sunday night. And I'm hoping the Lord will allow me to preach a message next Sunday night I've been working on for a while. And so tonight I want to kind of lead into that, the spiritual gifts, and talk about them some. And Brother Latta, we need to, at the end, we need to give them the website. So, and just preach a familiar sermon. Ready? First Peter chapter 4. As you think about this particular chapter in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter, of course, is encouraging them. They're gonna suffer persecution. There's gonna be issues, and that in the church they should love each other. I mean, basically, I'm very, very summarizing it down to its core. But he says there in verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch into prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity." Charity means love and action among yourselves. "For charity shall cover the multitudes of sin." We use that verse a lot, don't we, when we say, hey, love hides a multitude of sins. And it really does. When you love someone, then you can overlook a lot of things in their life. But look at verse 9. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. That's kind of a neat verse. So yes, you can show kindness and hospitality to someone, and but the Bible says you should do so because you want to, not because you have to. It's kind of sometimes as a Christian that's kind of tough, isn't it? And then verse 10 is the verse that we want to use tonight. It says, "And every man hath received the gift." And of course, when the Bible uses most of the time it's talking about mankind. "That as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, bless the word. Help us and encourage us tonight to use our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. When we got saved, the Bible refers to, and there's other passages that back this up, that we received gifts from the Lord. We received gifts, and that these gifts were given to us, and that each gift is kind of unique. In other words, each Christian has been given a unique gift from the Lord. And God's will for us is that we might use that gift in the church to meet specific needs of our church family. So God has given you a gift that meets a specific need in this church. And those gifts vary. And we're all different. Amen? I'm glad we're all unique, and therefore all the gifts that are given by the Lord are unique. But again, in the passage here, he says, now, love should conquer all, basically. You know, love, we should all love each other. And we should all be hospitable to each other and be kind to each other and show that love to each other. And even when we get to the point where we know each other's quirks and there's things in other people's lives that gets on our nerves, he said, you know what? Charity hides a lot of that. And that we need to just love each other. And in that love, we need to use our gifts toward each other, for each other in the church. All right? So you have a gift. Again, God has placed us in the church. I'm going to turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you've been a Christian very long and in the church very long and in this church very long, around this time of the year, we use this verse a lot because it speaks about not only that, but the diversity of gifts and being set in the church. And so look with me, chapter 12 and verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many. And the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body. It is therefore not the body. Is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set, placed the members of every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." If you are a member of our church, then you have been placed here. You've been set here by God. It's what that verse says. And that it says, verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where would the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Have you ever stubbed your toe or broke a finger? I mean, it's amazing how much that affects you. You think, hey, that's just a little bitty member of my body. But, boy, it affects you big time. And we need those things. And And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, glued it together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Amen? I don't know that I have to interpret any of this. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, you've been set in the body. God's placed you here. And some are an eye, some are a hand, you know, some are feet. Everybody is a particular part of the body, and that we are to work together, and that there shouldn't be any schisms, there shouldn't be any division in the body. For whether one member suffer, verse 26, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So, you know, sometimes we recognize somebody for what they've done, or especially music seems to get a lot of play up here because they're up here. But you know what? When we recognize someone, all should be recognized, and all should get in on it. There shouldn't be any jealousy. And whether one member suffer, now ye are the body of Christ. Verse 27, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, about that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. By the way, he tells you, chapter 13, what the best gift is, and that's the gift of love. Amen. The gift of love. He says, you know what? Not everybody's going to preach. You know, not everybody's going to teach. Not everybody's going to sing. Not everybody's going to usher. Not everybody. It's diversity of gifts. And everybody has a part to participate in the body of Christ. And at Heritage Baptist Church, there's absolutely a part for you to get involved in. And that every member ought to be involved in some capacity in the church. That's what it's teaching. Everybody ought to be involved in some capacity in the church. Again, you're imparted to the body. You've been given to the body. Differing of gifts. Some, by the way, some have more than one gift. There's no doubt. And so, understanding that we work together. We are laborers together with God. We are striving together. Philippians and Corinthians all tell us. And we are working for the cause of Christ. We are soldiers of the Lord. We're lining up together to win people to Christ, to see them get baptized, and disciple them. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're here to do. And we have been given gifts to see that that goal is accomplished. To see that the Great Commission is accomplished at Heritage Baptist Church. And again, the challenge is, are you using your gifts? Are you in part of the service of the body of Christ? Now, again, our job is, our command is, our marching orders are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To give the good news of salvation. And again, in this dark world, the world needs good news. They need good news. And I tell you, there are a lot of people that are open to the gospel now, and we need to give the gospel out. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. The Messiah, who was prophesied to come through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The prophecy was fulfilled 2,000 years ago, and Jesus Christ came. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And Jesus Christ left the portals of glory. He who was rich became poor, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, that we might be made rich, the Bible says. And I'm thankful that same Jesus lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. That never one time did He think a sinful thought. Never one time did He perform a sinful deed. He was sinless. Sinless. Completely sinless. But yet, He died the death of a criminal. They placed Him. They took Him and put Him on the cross. And of course, we know He said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. And He laid Himself down there. And there He died for me, and He died for you, for our sins. Isaiah tells us that the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. That He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Jesus Christ took the sins of the entire world upon Him there on the cross. And there He shed His blood for my sins. For the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And there he died for my sins and died for your sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He was buried. And the Bible says on the third day, he rose again from the dead, paying for our sins in full. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price that my sins might be forgiven, that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. I'm thankful that my sins have been erased. I'm thankful that my sinful record's been erased and Christ's sinless record's been put in its place. That I'm no longer on my way to hell. But when I die and leave this earth, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'll be in heaven. In fact, he's preparing for me a mansion. I don't even have to get up there and work on it. When it's my time, whoop, he's going to write my name on it. I'm going to arrive. Mansion done. No more building projects. I hope tonight you know you're saved. I hope tonight there's been a point in your life when you've knelt and you've prayed and you've received Christ as Savior. I hope there's a point in your life where you can say, I know that I'm saved. If there hasn't been, I hope tonight you'd come during the invitation and we'll show you from the Bible how you can know you can have eternal life. I've given the real simple gospel tonight because it is simple. I'm glad I don't have to work for it. We're going to have baptism tonight, but I'm glad baptism doesn't save you. Being a Baptist doesn't save you. Amen. Being Methodist doesn't save you, but it's repenting of your sins, realizing you're a sinner, and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And folks, that's what we're here to do, to tell others of the good news. And everyone has been given a gift in order for that to be accomplished effectively. Now we can run on six cylinders. Man, you get in a good truck, a good Chevy truck, and that engine's been fine-tuned. I'm talking about it's running on all cylinders, Brother Mike. I mean it's ready. And listen, it sounds good. It don't have that Dodge tick thing, you know. Some of you Dodge people, I don't know how you stand that tick on those Hemis. But you have that Chevy engine, and man, it takes off. I love to hear an engine that has just been tuned so finely. I love to hear it run. It's amazing. When we as a church are using our gifts as we should, then the church can be more effective. Now you can take an eight-cylinder engine and you can run down the road on six cylinders, but it won't go as fast, and it certainly won't sound as good. It'll eventually get the job done. It just won't be as effective. And tonight, we as church members need to be reminded that time is short. Time is short. The evening is past. He could come today. And we need to be about the Father's business. And we need to do it in the most effective manner that we can. And that means all of us pulling together. All of us working together. Not one person, yan, 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 another person, yan, 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 like little kids. And we don't have that problem as far as I know here. But no schisms. Everybody working. Everybody putting in the effort. Everybody putting their hands on the plow. I like our little statue over here in front of the gym. Wiping his brow, isn't he? Got the plow right there. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be plowing and reaping a harvest. What is your gift? I hope that if you haven't found your gift or haven't come to the realization of what your gift is, that you would take the time, and Brother Latta will get a website for you. We'd like for you to try as far as the gift test is concerned. But understand that most of the time your gift is connected to your talent. It really is. When the Bible speaks about giving gifts, it's really connected. Most of the time it's connected to your talent. There are exceptions to that. I've seen very, very shy people that God has opened up. And I think of Harry Shepherd. I mean, I could think of some others of our preachers who were called out of this church, whom God used, who wouldn't say three words to you. They were so shy, but now are preaching the gospel from a pulpit. Amen. It's an amazing, amazing thing how God can do that. What are the purpose, again, for those gifts? And we've already read it, and I've already pushed it. It is to build up and to minister to the flock. And we see that, again, there in Peter. We are there to minister to each other, to be a blessing to each other, to build up. Ephesians says to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ. So it's not just to reach people, but it also to minister to those around us. I want to use that statement, and it's not original with me, but every member is a minister. Don't forget that. We are all ministers, and we're all here to minister to each other. God blessed us many times. The manifold blessings of God have been given to us, and we need to give that same blessings to those around us. I'm losing you. Everybody still good? I know what the time is. We're going to be done like in 3 minutes. Use your gifts. Be a blessing to someone else. Help and encourage them here in the church, because someday we will give an account for how we used our gifts. And so let's do that. Let's get involved. Now, the spiritual gifts are described for us in Romans 12, and I'm going to give them to you. You can look them up later, Romans 12, 3 through 8. And we know some of the spiritual gifts have been done away with. Some of those we just mentioned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 have been done away with. Tongues have been done away. Prophecies have been done away, and so forth. But there are some that are still described for us in Romans that are a part of us. And the word prophecy is speaking of those who are preachers. There are some who have been called to preach, some who desire to preach the Word of God. That's one of the gifts. Another gift is ministry of helps, and that is the ability and desire to help God's people. And there are many people in this church that have the gift of helps, Amen. Who just desire to be a blessing to someone else and to help someone. That's a pretty simple gift, right? Just something that all of us could do. But there are particular people who are better at it than others. That means God has touched them and encouraged them and so forth. Some have been given the gift of teaching, the ability and desire to teach God's Word. We see many in our church who do that through Sunday school and master clubs. And then the gift of exhortation, the ability and desire to encourage others, to encourage others. And then the gift of giving. There are some who have the ability to give, and not just of their finances, but of themselves. And they have that opportunity and that gift. And just, again, just a little above someone who doesn't have the gift. The gift of administration, and this is an area that God just simply gifts some people. We have some people in this church who are just gifted with it. I wish that had come down my pike. I've had to work at it. But there are some in this room, and I won't name them, but there's some that are very gifted in this area, and so you ought to be using those things. And I'll use one lady. We think about Anne Marie, and there's a couple others that I know that absolutely have the gift. Brother Latta, I mentioned him too much, so I didn't want to mention his name. But there are some who have that gift. Maybe you have been given that gift. And maybe you ought to be a part of the organization of some of these special days that we do and so forth. The gift of mercy. And that is the ability and desire to feel the pain of others and to help during trials. And I think Miss Bobby Van Fleet typifies that to the core. And the ability to be in someone's situation, having suffered some, doesn't mean you have to have suffered in order to have this gift, but just to feel that pain and that it really, really touches you and you're able to grieve with that person and help that person in a very special way. God's gifted many in our church with that, and you ought to use that gift. I hope tonight you're using your gift. If you haven't found your gift, if you don't believe, hey, preacher, I just haven't found it yet, then we usually pass out a gift test. And what we want you to do this time is actually go to a website. This is it. It's called the Spiritual Gift Profiler, spiritualgifttest.com. All right? I think this will be really cool. This is a much better gift test than the one we've been passing out. Now, we'll tell you, when you start answering questions, there are going to be two or three questions that are non-Baptist questions. So I want to clarify, if you go to this website and you say, preacher believes that, there are two or three questions in there that definitely we do not agree with. But the test overall is fantastic. And you will really learn something from it, I believe. It really very detailed. How long does it take them, Brother Latta? About 10 minutes. So it's not going to take you an hour or 2 hours. It takes about 10 minutes. And so I'd encourage you, even if you've taken the kind of the small gift test we passed out before, go online and take this test, and maybe that would help you kind of clarify kind of where you're at with that, all right? All right. Again, you should desire to use your gift for the Lord. You should desire to do it. It shouldn't be something I have to write you and call you and and track you down. It ought to be something you desire to use. And that gift could be most anything, any talent that you have. By the way, our talents were given to us to use for God's glory, right? Primarily, my talent has been given to me for God's glory. So if I have a voice, I ought to be using it for God's glory. If I have the ability to teach or preach, I ought to be using it for God's glory. And again, all those other gifts, we ought to be using them for God's glory. If I have the ability to hammer a nail really good and I'm a carpenter, that gift has been given to me primarily for God's glory. Amen? So it really comes down to everything in our life has been given to us for God's glory. And for us to be a good steward of those things. Notice it didn't say steward in it. It said good steward. And when we get to heaven, I want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then when I stand before him in judgment, I pray and hope that I've been a good steward of the manifold blessings of God. Understand that your labor, 1 Corinthians tells us, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen? For you know your labor is not in vain. Let's all stand. For the invitation, we'll have the baptismal candidates make their way back to get baptized. Hymn 163, only trust Him. Only trust Him. Lord, spoken to your heart, you come tonight after we pray. Heavenly Father, we again come to you thanking you for your love for us and for the gifts you've so richly bestowed upon us. I pray tonight that each of us would be a better steward of the gifts and our talents. And Lord, as we go forward as a church this fall, that you would increase and multiply and give us fruit for our labor. I pray for each teacher and each worker. I pray for the master clubs that's starting up Wednesday night. God, would you just pour your blessings upon those who are working? Would you bless them in their home and in their health and finances and just everything that they do? Lord, just bless them for being so faithful. And God, we pray that you give us fruit for that labor. When we see souls saved in a greater way this fall than we've ever seen before. We thank you so much for these past few weeks and the souls that we've been seen saved and the ones we've been baptizing. And Lord, what a blessing. I pray you do it again. In Jesus' name, amen.